It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Good morning and welcome to our program. We are thankful that you decided to join us today and look forward to sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. So, gather your family, open your hearts, and let's listen to the word.
Genesis 6, 5 through 8. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Tell me, what must I do?
Hear the heart of a soul left abandoned, challenging thoughts like I'm the last man standing. Bound by affliction, trapped in condition, hear the petition of a man with no hope. Want a job and let go, mind full of echo, voices in my head won't let go.
You're just like your father, why even bother?
It seems like you're deaf, I can let go. As I study that path, I can see the aftermath, visions of my family crying. I'm a desperate man, they don't understand, my soul is steady dying. And they say there's more, but that's news to me, what am I living for? Can't take the pain, don't want the blame, so I rush to better shores. Running from my guilt of the life I built, my world is so insane. Lips speak my mind, need a peace of mind, can't go against the grain. Took a call on Christ, he could change my life if I would just proclaim. Trust in the Son, call on the one who breaks these bonds and chains.
What must I do to be saved? Tell me, what must I do?
I hear the cry of a soul not abandoned, knowing your thoughts while my grace is still standing. And all upstream, just believe in me, my will is not demanding. And that's why I sent my Son, he's the only one who has his Father's ear. He bled for you and he died for you to set you free from fears. Cast your cares on me, I can take it. Your sinful flesh, I can break it. I give release and provide you peace, your soul, I won't forsake it. You wanna know what living's for? You want a life that's worth much more? I can take your pain, your sins to blame. I'm the path to better shores. You'll never outrun your guilt. I am the foundation built for a world that's gone insane. I'm against the grain, set this world on tilt. You were told to call on me, that I can change your life. In me proclaim, and call on my name. I am eternal life.
What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Tell me, what must I do? Lord,
I want to change my life and give it all to Christ, but my sins got a stranglehold. Trying to call your name, but my voice is strained and my heart's still beating cold. It's so hard to hear over raucous cheers led by temptations calling. It's like stepping off a cliff, my soul set adrift, and I am steady falling. What must I do? What must I do? My God, I need your mercy.
Come and drink from my living waters.
My God, my soul is thirsty. On my face prostrate through the tears of heartache, I lift my voice to call. Jesus, I do surrender. Give you my all in all. Felt the burning in my chest and my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything brand new. See, his word is true. We are now on one accord. All the pain I now let go. All the voices that once said go. All belong to Christ. He changed my life, but I had to ask him though.
What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Tell me, what must I do? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I, what must I, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Tell me, what must I do?
Dear God, thank you for everything that you have given us. Thank you for the humbleness that you have gifted us. Thank you for giving us the ability to speak kindly and respectfully upon our peers and ourselves. Thank you, God, for sharing your light in all of us. And God, thank you for all the blessings that you have done to brighten our light, just like how you brighten everyone's light every single day. And God, thank you for giving us the ability to be diligent in these matters of taking care of the community, ourselves, and everyone around us. And thank you for everything that you have done to give us an example of how to be in life. And this is for the hearers who are listening to this podcast, that to make a difference in people's life, not only yourselves, but no matter whoever you come upon, speak kindly of them and let them share your light, but never dim yours. Amen.
Yes. Yes. One thousand times yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you, Nori, for that prayer, and Lisa for reading the scripture, and Joe Miles for that wonderful song, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Amen. Amen. So we'll get right into the word. When I was 12 years old, I remember being petrified about the state of the world. There were fears that the United States and Russia were going to war. There was conflict in the Middle East. And I was exposed to the book of Revelation. Now, I hadn't put my eyes on that particular book, so all I relied on was my friend telling me about the Antichrist, 666, and how bad it was going to be for anyone without the mark of the beast. Y'all see, he left out a lot of important facts. Amen. And I didn't really understand what salvation meant. In fact, I believe that everything boiled down to the Ten Commandments. If you broke a commandment, you're going to hell. That's what I thought. That's what I was led to believe. Hadn't attended worship service yet. That didn't take place until I was 13. So I'm extremely worried. And I remember hearing, you can go to hell at the age of 12, so you better do right. And I felt like we were one event away from the end of the world. And I was worried about my future. I was worried about my family. And I realized there was very little I could do to stop this from occurring. And see, when I looked around, the initiative to go to church didn't come until a year later. So when I looked around, the people around me, see, I knew everyone knew God, but souls weren't being saved and the gospel wasn't being shared. And as I told you all before, my aunt started reading the Bible to me at 7, but now I'm 12. She's no longer watching us. My mother's working night shift and I'm in charge of looking after my brother and sister. I felt helpless. I felt powerless. I felt lost. And I was truly afraid. But despite those fears, I found myself doing all the rebellious things a preteen would do. I don't know if I just didn't know what to do and thought, I might as well run amok, or if I was a product of my environment, if I was being heavily influenced by my surroundings. And those surroundings can be morally wrong. They can be evil. They can be wicked. So in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, we see that evil was running rampant and God sent the flood to restore good by saving the life of one man, a righteous man, a man who was obedient. And because he was obedient, God was also saving his family. At this particular time, during this period in time, wickedness has swept the earth and everyone was giving in to temptation. Everyone was consumed with evil thoughts. And what God was going to do was reverse creation. God was returning the earth to the way it was pre-creation. But one man, a man named Noah, ended up saving mankind because he was obedient. Not obedient in the sense of being perfect, but obedient because he stood for what's right and had a close relationship with God. In Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8, we learn that God sees all things. This includes the corruption of humanity. And more importantly, the Bible says it, so we know it's true. God knew what was in their hearts. God knows what's in our hearts. So we can fool some, maybe we can fool many, but we can never fool God. And the Bible says God regretted making man and his heart was troubled. Now, to truly understand this text, we really should understand what is meant by the word regret. And it's important to know that the same word in Hebrew is translated to mean sorry. Maybe not God was sorry that he made man, or man, I messed up. We can't say definitively it means I wish I had never done this. But if we look at the definition of regret, we'll see the words to feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that one has done or failed to do. And saying that, more likely than not, God felt sad about what man had turned into. Nevertheless, the hearts of men were evil. And now Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 26 through 27, that people were just carrying on without a single thought of judgment. No guilt, no care, just living it up. Right now, on this day, people are living it up. People are self-centered. People are doing what they want to do without any thought of judgment. Empathy is at an all-time low. We aren't taking the time to recognize how our words or actions affect people, and it's hurting society. Narcissism is at an all-time high. People are in self-gratification mode, no matter the cost, and it's hurting our society. There's a lack of meaningful relationships, and it's hurting our society. And through all of this, because of all of this, in Noah's time, God decided to destroy the earth, all of man, and its animals. But with God, he was pleased with Noah. Violence was everywhere. People were doing what God said was evil. So God tells Noah he's going to destroy the earth. And he tells Noah to build an ark. And he tells Noah he's going to make an agreement with him. And he tells Noah that his wife, his sons' wives, and two of every kind of animal should go on the boat. And Noah did everything God commanded. He loaded everyone and everything on the ark. And 7 days later, the flood started. I'm sure while they were in the ark, there was at least one person in the ark, a son, a son's wife, someone who asked, "Are you sure this is what God wants us to do?" Now, I'm sure there were people who were outside the ark laughing, living it up and calling Noah and his family cuckoo. And I'm sure everyone thought Noah was out of his mind. Right now, the world is full of nonsense. The world is full of violence. The world is full of sin. And those who are saved are being obedient, but friends or family members are questioning your decision to be obedient. Nowadays, the world is full of evil, but Christians are being obedient while others believe we're cray-cray. So here we have a man who God showed favor towards, someone who walked with God, but he was picked on. He was considered an outcast. And then when the moment came, he was tested by the storm. So even if you're chosen, even if you have favor with God, you are still subject to ridicule. You can still be tested, but you have to weather the storm. Noah was obedient. Noah built an ark. Noah weathered the storm. So how do we have this unwavering faith like Noah? Faith is believing something exists when what we see tells us something else. And the Bible says Noah walked with God. He took positive action to do right. He believed what God said and he listened to God. He spent time with God. So if we spend time with him, if we take positive action to do right, faith will exist in our hearts and we will receive grace from God. Acknowledge his word, ask him in your heart, and accept your salvation. To sum it up, trust. Trust God. If you trust him, all those things will fall into place. When we demonstrate this type of faith, we see God in nature. God will put people in our lives. He can improve our circumstances. And all of a sudden, things we need can fall in place. But one thing is for certain, faith equals courage. In this passage, we see Noah's faith. There's no misunderstanding. We see Noah's courage, and it's clear. First, he trusted God, and we know this because he demonstrated faith by taking action. He started building an ark, and he had the courage to do this despite being ridiculed. God wants to do great things through us, but we have to walk with him to understand what those things are. He wants to bless us, but we have to have faith and know that he will. He wants to use us to tell his story, but we have to take action and show the world that despite this madness around us, despite the majority going one direction, we're going the other way. So when you look around, you see politicians using language that's provoking. When you look at television or video games, there's violence. And when you listen to music, there are rappers who say that it's only about sex. There are singers who are extremely explicit. And it makes one ask the question, where is the love? Songs about sex, nothing about love. Video games about violence, nothing about peace. TV shows that are horrific and without compassion. Evil is running rampant. We're in a time of wickedness. And our children, God bless our kids. When we send them to school, the world is ready to corrupt them. Make no mistake, we are normalizing violence. We might not be in the thick of it, but we are close to a society where no one has heart. Again, Noah's faith is an act of courage. Do you have the courage to act on faith? Do you have the courage to drown out the voices of non-believers? Genesis 6:22 says Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Despite looking different or weird, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Can you stand firm when everything around you is chaotic? Can you stay firm when so many people have hard hearts? Because I love you, I deliver this message. As a supervisor, a manager, and a head of an organization, I understood that if I truly cared about my people, I will tell them what they needed to hear. It's under that same premise that I tell you to stay guarded, have faith, take action, and show courage. If anyone listens to my message, I have an obligation to tell the truth. I am responsible. God trusts me with the word, and I will be doing you a disservice if I water down the gospel. Obedience to God in difficult times can result in divine preservation and blessings. Let me say that again. Obedience to God in difficult times can result in divine preservation and blessings. We know it's hard to be obedient when everyone around you is doing whatever they want and telling you that you're missing out. How pleasing is it to God to see you stay firm when everyone else is trying to turn you away from God? Take the time to listen to God. I've stayed firm and seen blessings shortly after. I've failed to stay firm and beat myself up because I disappointed God in myself. One thing is for certain. God has told us. Noah has shown us. Loyalty is rewarded. God honors faithfulness. Take comfort in knowing that God has promised to reward obedience. In Proverbs 8:32, it reads, "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways." But remember this, Noah was talking with God, walking with God. Therefore, he was favored. And it's important to put shine on this because he couldn't do it alone. You and I cannot do this alone. See, God was with Noah and his family through the storm. And the Bible says the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see that the waters prevailed and mountains were covered and people died and cattle died. But God remembered Noah and every living thing that was in the the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were removed. How wonderful it is to know that no matter the gravity of the storm, God can make the wind pass over and he can remove the waters. All because he knew Noah's heart and Noah was obedient. What remarkable obedience. When you think about it, there were stages, and Noah consistently remained obedient. First, walking with God, building the ark, sitting in the ark, waiting for the flood, riding the storm for 40 days and 40 nights. Are we in position? Noah had faith. Noah believed. Noah took a course of action. Noah believed. Noah listened. Noah believed. Noah moved. Noah believed. We weather the storm through faith, obedience, and action. The water is coming. Do you have faith and courage to stand firm on what you believe? War is here. War is here. Do you have faith and courage to do whatever needs to be done to glorify the Lord? Through our storms, when the water is rising and our lives are covered in chaos because we're obedient, because we're walking with God, because we're taking the time to listen to God, because God affords us favor, he will remember us and remove those waters. Amen. 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 Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown.